This year, locally based businesses will spend $92 billion on all forms of digital advertising, while upwards of 85% get siphoned away by Google and YouTube and Facebook and other internet dominators. Tens of millions of dollars actually stay in the market. Few agencies and media sellers seem to realize there's a lot of money available in their own market. To paraphrase Samuel L. Jackson, what's in your market? In this episode, we'll bring on a guest co-host to help us answer that question.
Welcome to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, bringing you unique insights from two of the industry's brightest analysts and forecasters, Corey Elliott and Gordon Burrell. Today's podcast is sponsored by Conduit Digital, your elite performance partner for white-label digital marketing and the media audit, providing market-level consumer insights for more than 20 years. And now, here are your hosts, Corey and Gordon.
Hello, everybody. We're going to take a bit of a different track this episode and talk about major research on local advertising that's being released this week on April 20th, to be exact. And we've invited a friend of ours, a chief digital officer who's a lot closer to the front lines than we are, to join us as a guest co-host this week. But first, let me introduce Mr. Gordon Burrell.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Samuel L. Jackson. Man, yeah. I was waiting.
On the edge of your seat, right?
We're not going to have him on this podcast.
No, he's way too expensive.
Okay. But we do have a special guest, as you alluded to, and that is Mr. Todd Handy, Chief Digital Officer of Beasley Media Group. Todd, welcome to the show.
Gordon, Corey, thanks for having me.
Todd was at where I think we first met you, Todd, about a dozen years ago at Deseret Media. And that was a remarkable organization. You did some fantastic things there. I always remember three of the guys who worked at Deseret Media were Mr. Handy, Mr. Bright, and Mr. Darling. That was just an odd thing to me. So we have here Mr. Handy. So thanks for joining us. And, you know, we've got this great report that we have delayed for 2 years because of COVID. There was just a huge flux in the information channels, and we just didn't feel like we could, you know, do a really good job of this report that we actually had published annually since 2002. Mm-hmm. And so we finally have it out this week. And Corey, your thoughts on it. The report itself is really an assessment of a lot of the data that you've provided on the flow of local advertising through the markets and what portion remains in local markets, doesn't go to Google and Facebook and the others.
Oh, a heck of a lot. And I think that let's first start by saying that the background and where we got all this information is from three different sources of media ad revenues, understanding we work with local media companies to understand their local ad revenues, local business expenditure data, stuff from our own Compass database, and then a survey of local media managers. So we actually got in the heads of the local media managers in the market and understood what they were thinking about everything.
Yeah. So Todd, we're going to bring you in. You're really on the front line. And one of the things I'm eager to hear from you is that over the years, and we started out doing this in 2001, 2002, we said, look how much advertising is being spent by local businesses. It was $1 billion in, I think, 2002. And that was just a lot of money. Now it's what, $92 billion? People kept saying, oh, it can't be that big. It can't be that big. And it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But 10 years ago, Corey, we made it smaller. We said, okay, yeah, you can't accept that that much is being spent in your markets, yep. Although we know it is. Let's make it smaller for you. It's roughly, when we say 15%.
Yeah, about, it depends on the market, but around 15%.
Yeah, stays in the market. And that number to a lot of people, Todd, is still big. So what are you feeling about that number? What do you hear on the front lines? What are the folks saying out there? Not just at Beasley, but just generally, you know, folks that have a really tough time selling in local markets because of everything they have to do. And then they're faced with what a number that looks really big to them.
Yeah, Gordon, I think it's really two things. I think, first of all, everyone in the local media space is really trained to look at the numbers that they know. Is it a Miller Kaplan? Is it a Kantar, someone else? And those numbers are really either self-reported or they're just the media that you're from, and they're not necessarily looking at everything else. And the second one is, I remember back in 2009, 2010, when we were working with you at Desert Digital Media, you really challenging us to look at, listen, this is not just your competitors across the street, the other newspaper in the market, the other TV or radio. It's a lot of other things that are coming into this as well. And I think that's also not being really taken into account at this point.
Yeah. So some of the key takeaways in the report, in addition to, wow, there's a lot of obtainable digital revenue for agencies and media companies in local markets, that which stays in the market. But there were a number of other things that we found, and that is, Corey, I'll ask you about this. You know, the pandemic really seemed to be a springboard, an amazing, only 9% of folks that we surveyed, and these are media managers, newspapers, radio, and TV, only 9% said the pandemic had a negative effect. And then we started getting these comments of like, yeah, we were forced to kind of stop and think. So, Corey, your thoughts on that?
Well, it also came from local businesses too, right? Because during the pandemic, we saw this in our local ad surveys or SMB panels that a lot of entrenching happened, a lot of bringing back of advertising dollars in 2020. And the first dollars that were going to be re-spent went digital because people were trying to connect to their own customers, their own clients, let them know what was going on, if they were open, if they were cleaning their stores, et cetera, et cetera. And so it just naturally flowed. And we saw a big jump of the share of digital revenue in a market go from like 57% in 1 year up to 63%. 63% of all of the local ad dollars were being spent somewhere digitally.
That's a lot of money. Todd, one of the charts in the reports does mention Beasley. It's one of the most popular charts. Everybody likes to look at it. And it's a couple of a dozen or so publicly held companies and the share of their total ad revenue that comes from digital. And one of the remarkable things is that Beasley seems to be at the very low end of that scale, not getting a large percentage. But it's because, as we know, as we've heard from Caroline in the public reports, there's been a lot of investments made, one of which was hiring you a couple of years ago and appointing you their first chief digital officer. Tell us a little bit about Beasley, what you can tell us, you know, what's going on there and the types of things you guys are doing to really drive digital revenues. And you had significant growth last year.
Well, Gordon, one of the things that I'm happy to say is, and I can't tell you the number, but you can wait until you hear it from our quarterly report, is that the percentage that you have in the report is not the percentage that it has been in this first quarter of 2022. We've had a significant increase just in this first quarter of 2022. So I'm looking forward to hearing that. But the truth is, we really are pushing on all of the things that you've called out here. Video is a great growth factor for us. We're doubling down on that. We've invested heavily in digital-only sellers that are representing about 20% of the revenue that we're looking for in this year. And for this budget this year, they carry 30% of the revenue goal. And we're really focusing on our integrated teams, which is what we call our radio sellers who also sell digital, really focusing on ensuring that they've got the product, the training, and all of the tools necessary for them to really be able to sell not only to their radio advertisers, but to go out and get new advertisers, many of which are not even radio clients at all.
Let's back up a little bit. I don't think we did a fair job of describing Beasley. How many stations, how many markets? And if you could talk about those digital-only sellers, if you can tell us, you know, how many or what percent of the total sales force they represent.
Sure. So we are in 62 stations in 11 different markets. We have roughly 200 sellers all in when you think about our integrated sellers and our digital direct team. And that digital direct team is budgeted to be 30 sellers this year. And as I said, they'll carry about 30% of the total revenue, digital revenue, this year as well.
I have a smarty pants question. There's two ways to get to 30%. One is to really grow digital, and the other one is to really let non-digital fall. That's two ways I can get to 30%. Are you expecting a big decrease in the non-digital stuff? Or no, man, this is all pure digital is going to hit it out of the park.
Corey, it's really more the latter. And if you know Caroline Beasley, you'll know that she's very aggressive in the entire company growing, not just in digital. It certainly isn't all of us sitting around as an executive team saying, well, let's really drive digital, but let's allow our traditional to decrease. Therefore, we increase our total percentage of digital. That's not the case at all.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
And Corey, to your point, that table that I referred to a little bit earlier, digital's contribution to total ad revenue for publicly held media companies, Hibu, the Yellow Pages companies, is now at 100% because they've completed their phase out. We're not going to put them on the list anymore. They completed their phase out of print directories. But you look at Gannett, and they're at 40.8%. Lee Enterprises, another newspaper company, 37%. Outfront Media, which we're now counting or just taking a look at, saying, okay, if their digital stuff is delivered in outdoor companies by the internet on a digital sign, isn't that digital? some of those outdoor companies are 25, 30%. You look at Gray Television and Tegna, they're at 23 and 21%, you know, respectively. So that's one gauge for companies. Todd, what is your best gauge when you're looking at, not revealing any secrets, but when you're looking at growth? Of course, year over year growth or quarter, you know, versus previous quarter or last year's quarter growth in digital revenue. But what are the other important gauges you think other folks should look at if they really want to access the largest portion they can, the largest share they can of these obtainable digital dollars in each of the markets?
Well, I think that's one of them right there, Gordon, is looking at the obtainable dollars that you can get in the Borrell Associates Compass tool. If you can understand what the obtainable dollars are there in your market and you understand who else you're competing against, what do you consider to be your quote unquote fair share or what's your unfair share? I mean, if I'm taking a look at all the dollars that are on the table, if I'm a competitor in any sport or in any game or whatever the case may be, I want to try to take the most that I can if I'm trying to win. And if that's how we're gauging it, I want to take the most dollars that I can. So what are the obtainable dollars in my market and where are they being spent? And then how can I put some strategies around those specific vehicles? If it's video, if it's audio, if it's targeted display, what are my strategies to go out and get those pieces of that budget so that I can take the larger percent of the chips on the table?
One other thing I wanted to get your reaction on, and it was our survey of managers. And that was, I think it was 68% of them, almost 69% said, and these are TV, radio, newspaper companies, cable companies, all selling digital advertising. 68% said they try to include or they include digital in every single sales pitch. What are you guys doing at Beasley?
I'd say we're looking to do 100%. I saw some of the comments in there, and that is absolutely the case. Everything that we do needs to include digital. And that would be if you've got a current advertiser who's spending some digital, what else can we spend on? And by the way, we're certainly not just going out there pushing digital for digital's sake. We're doing a needs analysis. We're understanding what's the outcome that you're looking for. Are you looking to ring the cash register? Are you looking for foot traffic? You're looking for clicks, downloads, whatever the case may be. And then we're putting together a really smart solution that addresses that. And then, of course, delivers the ROI. But of course, we're including digital in everything that we do. And for me, one of the keys, and we did this at Desert Digital Media, and we've done this to success here at Beasley as well, is to add net new digital that you wouldn't get any other way. I characterize it as selling non-radio product to non-radio advertisers. And that's where our digital direct team comes in, as well as our integrated team that's going out and closing digital-only advertisers as well.
Okay, Todd, I have one more question for you. There is a chart about what is the hottest seller. What is the number one thing people are selling and the second thing that people are selling? And I found something really surprising in there. And I want to get your take on it and see what Beasley's doing. But first, let's take a break and get a word from our sponsors.
Conduit Digital is the elite white label digital marketing performance partner for successful agencies. We enable our partners to scale by acting as a certified expert extension of their in-house ad operations teams. If you're looking to solve hiring challenges, round out your suite of services, manage account overflow, or deliver best-in-class performance for clients, contact Conduit Digital. To learn more, visit conduitdigital.us.
If you're in advertising, you know how vital it is to have a good grasp of consumer behavior in your market. That's where the Media Audit comes in. The Media Audit provides data on consumer buying patterns and media consumption habits, accessible through an easy-to-use software platform. To learn how to access the data for your market, visit themediaaudit.com.
Okay, Todd, here's my question. In the report, we have a chart that breaks down what are the number one digital things that people are selling. And of course, you've got the targeted display, OTT, banners, SEO up there at top. It was really surprising to me that social media and social media management came in at number four and nobody ranked it as their number one seller. When you see that chart, does it ring true with you or are you guys doing something a little different?
No, Corey, it does ring true. And part of it could be that social media management, of course, takes a lot of work as well. We do that, but that includes having to have staff that are responding to comments, that are giving answers, that are giving directions, that are engaging. And that takes a lot of staffing. And in this day of great resignation, and we've certainly been hit by that as well, that's a little bit more of a struggle. When you think about selling video, targeted banners, geofencing, everything else, those don't require that overhead, if you will. Now, I'm not suggesting that doesn't mean that paid social and social media management aren't really great vehicles. It's just that I believe when I look at your chart here, those that are being sold at a much higher level also don't require that overhead that folks are struggling with right now.
So, Todd, you guys are doing just such a fantastic job. It's really impressive, the investment that Beazley is putting in its digital operations, really just beginning to pay off during the pandemic. And no pressure, great expectations of you guys this year. There's just so much going on in the digital space. In terms of growing a new business, and this is another finding that we had in the report, I wanted to get your reaction to it. We found that at least 84% of businesses, and these again are local media companies, at least 84% of them are acquiring or beginning to build digital-only customers. In other words, if it's a newspaper company, it's not just newspaper buyers, and they're also selling some digital stuff to them. Radio also selling some digital stuff. In fact, 2/3 of the companies that we surveyed said they had up to 1/4 of their total customer base were digital only. Where is Beazley on that? Are you guys tracking that at all? Is that important to you?
We are definitely tracking that. And we're not only growing significantly in that, but we're right in the top tier of what you've shown in your graph here. For me, it really comes down to this. There is only so much that we can fight over. From a traditional standpoint, it goes back to the book many years ago, The Blue Ocean, Red Ocean. We can't fight against ourselves and other media companies for those same advertisers. We need to add net new advertisers who can bring net new dollars. It all needs to be accretive, of course. But if you think about the disruption that's going on and any of our traditional media, be it radio, TV, newspaper, those spends are decreasing. If we just fight over those types of advertisers, we're fighting over a shrinking dollar amount. We need to go after where the spend is growing, which is in digital. And we also need to diversify and look at lower dollar amounts where we can bring in smaller SMBs and other businesses who also can add to our overall total. But that does take work. And that's where we focus a lot of our effort with our digital direct selling.
Now, Todd, I'm going to put you on the spot. You didn't prepare for this. Brace yourself. You can plead the fifth if you want. Over the summer, we're going to attempt the 10-year challenge, we're going to call it. And we're going to get a number of CEOs, do brief interviews with them and say, hey, where do you see your company in 10 years? That's a big challenge. So I'll ask you, and it's kind of off the springboard of, wow, building some digital-only customers. Hey, where do you see, you know, Beazley, maybe? And if you don't want to answer it that way, maybe, you know, a successful radio company, where do you see it in 10 years? Not just with digital-only customers, but overall, what's it look like 10 years from now?
Well, I'll answer that, but I'll give you the disclaimer that you said you were going to ask that of the CEOs, and I'm just the chief digital officer, so I'm not speaking for Beazley Digital. But I will say this, Caroline Beazley and the Beazley organization have done a great job of looking out in the future at what else is coming. And in fact, a couple of years ago, we made an investment in esports. And if you take a look at the disruption and the patterns that have happened, traditional media has certainly been disrupted by digital, but digital is going to be disrupted as well. Now, it will be disrupted likely by something else that's digital, but I'm going to use this as the case. 10 years from now, we likely will have moved even more from our current digital disruption into a new disruption. That very well could be esports. That could be where the audiences will be. It's the skating to where the puck will be, not where it is right now. And so I'd say 10 years from now, I think it's clear that we will have had to move on even from the digital disruption and the clients we've been adding now into new mediums, such as esports and others, and into new advertisers as well.
Todd, I've known you for a few years now and have watched what you've been doing at Beazley. And I got to say, he did not pay me to say this, everybody. What you're doing is great. And the advancements I've seen in the last couple of years and what Beazley's doing together or overall, I always thought it's really interesting that a radio group got to sit back for a while, radio did, and see the disruption ripple through, you know, search and yellow pages and then newspapers and then TV and got a chance to get their act together and hit the ground running. So I want to tip my hat to you and the folks at Beasley and say, man, you guys are doing a fantabulous job.
I appreciate that. I would say that as an industry, I don't think we've moved as quickly as we need to. Radio itself, I think the Beasley team has done a great job, and there are certainly others who've done an incredibly great job. But I think, to your point, I think maybe we allowed that disruption to happen and we watched it happen when maybe we could have been a little more quickly gearing up. And then when we got hit with it, we certainly responded. But I do believe we could have responded a little bit faster. And that's why we need to run a little bit faster to get where we need to be.
Well, it looks like we've run out of time, so we're going to have to close things out for a podcast that featured both Todd Handy and Samuel L. Jackson.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, well, true. Well, thank you, Todd.
You're welcome.
And thanks to my lovely and somewhat talented regular co-host.
Well, thank you very much.
Somewhat talented. Yeah, we'll get to it. Hey, everybody out there, please review us. Please, if you like the podcast, let us know and share it. And thanks, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Todd. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Local Marketing Trends Podcast, sponsored by Conduit Digital and by The Media Audit. If you have ideas for future shows or guests, email the hosts at podcast@burrellassociates.com. Thanks for listening, and remember, market well.